Hi everyone, and this is Kimi. So welcome to our podcast. Today, Jay and I will talk about the relation between health and exercise. So my part will introduce what are health benefits of body image, and his part will be how does exercise improve your mental health. But what is positive body image? What are its characteristics and expressions? Some people say body image may help them appreciate, respect, separate, and honor their bodies, which may make treatment gain more effective and lasting. Because most of people actually don't know that, so we're going to talk about it today. And Jay's part will be like about mental health. As everybody knows that regular exercise is good for the body, but exercise is also one of the most effective way to improve your mental health. Regular exercise can have a profoundly positive impact on depression, anxiety, and more. It also relieves stress, improves memory, helps you sleep better, and boosts overall mood. So if you want to know more, so please continue listening to our podcast. Thanks. Hi guys, welcome to my radio podcast. This is Kimi Zhang. As always, I'm very glad to talk to you guys here. So today, we're gonna talk about the relationship between exercise and appearance. At the beginning, I'm going to introduce the relationship between appearance and exercise just a little bit to let you guys know. Appearance-based exercise motivation moderates the relationship between exercise frequency and positive body image. Individuals with a positive body image appearance, their bodies hold an internal perspective of their bodies and satisfied with their functionality of their bodies. So for more specific the details, so today I'm gonna interview my good friend Michael Griffin. As a New Yorker, he will tell us more about the relationship between exercise and appearance. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Kimmy.
So I have a question. The first question is a couple questions. So the first question is, what do you think the relationship between exercise and the appearance? Actually, appearance, you can consider it to be like a body image.
Well, I think everybody would agree that exercise has an impact on the physicality of the body. And the more one exercises, then the greater the impact on the physical state of the body. But in terms of body image, I guess it seems to me that there are two levels. There's the body image that we have of our own bodies, a self-image, and then there's the body image that others perceive about our bodies. And so in terms of the relationship between exercise and body image for oneself, I think that exercising and developing one's physical body tends to create a positive feeling in yourself about your own body and being. And it's not just in terms of a positive feeling about its physical appearance, which is part of it, but I think there's also a positive impact on one's mental and emotional satisfaction with one's body and body image. And perhaps it even generates a sense of pride or achievement, which bolsters confidence. In terms of body image and other people, obviously, I guess on the first level, there's the physical attractiveness. Exercise develops body tone and muscle tone, and perhaps even definition, depending on how much exercise one does. And generally speaking, I think most people would agree that an exercise body is more attractive than a body which has not had the benefits of exercise. But beyond physical attractiveness, I think that when one exercises and kind of stays in shape, just generally stays in shape, I think that conveys or communicates something to people, to viewers, to people who are looking at you. Mm-hmm. And it communicates a number of things. One, certainly that, you know, an awareness, you know, that someone is attentive to their health and that they're concerned about their appearance. And it also demonstrates that, you know, someone's capable of engaging in disciplinary, kind of difficult but disciplinary activities, and generally demonstrates that you're a balanced person.
Okay. So, yeah, that's very, very good, chat. Then, so I have another question. So positive body image and exercise may even impact each other in bi-directional manner, perhaps in an upward spiritual. Do you agree? Why?
Well, I think that body image, I think that when one exercises and one, as one does it, one feels a sense of achievement and really appreciates the impact of exercise on the body, the development of muscle and tone. And I think that when you see those results, it reinforces your motivation and desire to exercise more. And so I think in that respect, they influence each other. And feed each other. And so, yes, I would agree that there's probably an upward spiral.
Oh, okay. So, thank you, Michael. But I still have the last question is, so as a New Yorker and also a professional person, so how important for you to have a better appearance, I mean, body image? What do you do to keep looking good?
Well, I think, again, generally exercising and therefore improving your image of body to others, I mean, again, conveys that you're a balanced person, that you have priorities, and that you can engage in very disciplined, managed kind of activities. And I think in that respect, it also, because I think your improved body image creates a self-confidence, I think that comes through professionally when you're dealing with people. How do I personally try and maintain a good physical appearance and body image for myself? I don't do enough, but certainly probably most importantly for me is certainly diet. But as New Yorkers, we're very lucky because as New Yorkers, we walk a lot. And there is natural exercise that happens every day in our lives. You know, we walk to stores, we walk to theater, we walk to bars, we walk to dinner. And so we have an advantage that people who live in the suburbs and the country don't, where their walking is from the front door to the car, or from the store to the car, or from the restaurant to the car. Obviously then, beyond kind of natural walking in New York, like other people, you go to a gym and you work out.
Okay, thank you, Michael. And thank you very much for your comments about then the relationship between exercise and parents. And that's very helpful. And so I will talk about more in the next time. Hopefully you will join me too.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Safieto, and today I'm going to talk about diet and workout. Some people define diet as a special course of food to which a person restricts themselves either to lose weight or for medical reasons. However, when some people are on a diet, they combine it with sport in the goal to get better and faster results. But actually, a lot of them don't know what they should do while they are on a diet. Either they do not eat the right food, or they just do not the right workout, which is the reason why some people get better and faster results than others. But whether you are a bodybuilder, a professional athlete, or simply exercising to improve your health, sport nutrition plays a key role in optimizing the beneficial effect of physical activity. Making better decisions with your nutrition and hydration can result in improved performance recovery and injury prevention. Any successful fat loss program is going to take you out of your comfort zone, both in the gym and in the kitchen. Effective fat loss workouts are generally energy depleting and physically and mentally taxing, and best paired with nutrition plan of attack that's filled with healthy, real food, no fast food, which leaves you in a slight of calorie deficit. To maximally reduce your body fat percentage, you are going to have to start in the kitchen. You may have heard the saying that abs are made in the kitchen, which is true and important, because some people think that diet means starving yourself. No, in the contrary, you have to eat, but eat the right food, of course. The human body needs those food, to function normally. A lot of people say, oh, I'm going to go hit the gym and burn this fat out. But if you do not eat enough, you're not going to hit the gym, because, or you will just not have the proper workout because you will not have enough energy. That's why you need to put in the best nutrition. Another thing, you cannot hit the gym and go have a fast food, ice cream, or a bar of chocolate after that. No, just those kind of things. The calorie that you just burned like 1 hour ago is just, when you eat that, it's just a calorie that you're taking back. When we are on a diet, one of the most important thing is to pay attention of the kind of food that we are taking in. Another thing is, you cannot go hit the gym and have fast food, ice cream, or those kind of things after your workout, because it just means that you are taking back all the calorie that you have burned 1 hour ago or whatever. In short term, it just means that those food are your worst enemy. So when we are on a diet, we have to pay attention of what kind of food that we are eating. pay attention of the nutrition facts, then which means the level of the carbohydrate, sugar, fiber, vitamins, protein and carbs and calories and the fat and those kind of things, etc.
The type of foods that we eat are the most important thing. You can use all these foods in front of me to bulk up or even lose fat. The main difference is how much of everything you eat. So let's go over a few things that should be either in your fridge or your cupboard at all times. First of all, carbohydrates. When you're cutting and trying to lose fat, you have to limit the carbohydrates. Carbohydrates provide energy, but they also retain a lot of water within your system. The oats are large flake oats. That means that they're not processed in any way. So I mean, if you get the 1 minute oats, the GI index, which means how fast your body actually digests all these foods within your body, goes up. So the more processed the food is, it goes up. Sugar being really high. So I mean, if you put a lot of sugar in your body, it's gonna get digested very, very fast. You wanna focus on the carbohydrates being low GI. When you're bulking up, you wanna have carbohydrates in almost every single meal. Maybe you wanna limit it before bed, but you always wanna have carbohydrates. These kind of carbohydrates are gonna help you pack on mass and give you that energy in the gym to really lift heavy weight. Another good source would be to add brown rice in there. The next thing we have is some fruits. I think fruits are very important whether you are cutting or bulking up. Obviously, if you're bulking, you're gonna have a lot more when you're cutting, just a little bit less because of the sugars. However, I think that fruits have a lot of vitamins and minerals that you can really use. I mean, bananas and potassium. You have oranges with a lot of vitamin C. Kiwis as well with a lot of vitamin C. Strawberries, you can get frozen or fresh. Throw them in blenders and all that. All these fruits are high in fiber, which you need. They have a lot of minerals and vitamins. That will only do your body good. Obviously, you want to limit it when you're cutting. When you're bulking up, just go nuts. The more, the better. Next, we have something that's very essential to any diet. Although I don't really have all the possible greens here, you can add broccoli to this selection here, cauliflower, spinach. I got some romaine, I got some tomatoes and some squash, which are all very, very good for you. And I mean, whether you're cutting or bulking, you can definitely up this amount as much as you really want. Try to have vegetables at least a few times a day. It's got a lot of fiber, it's got good minerals and vitamins, and once again, this will only do your body good. But whether you are cutting or bulking, I don't think this is something that you really need to limit.
So eating is like really, really, really important if you want to lose weight. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you don't need to go to work out. Oh, you need to. You need to. But in order to build muscles, increase muscular strength and cardiovascular fitness, you will have to go to hit the gym. Like, weight loss and cut your body in proper shape is like the dream of everybody, because most of the athletes have well shape and strong physique. Every person in this world has a dream to get athlete's physique, right? This is not easy. It required hard work and consistency. Athletes burn thousands of calories in the field and off the field to maintain their figures. There are a bunch of workout and physique that you can have fun with that can help you burn fat and burn your calories really fast and easy. First of them is swimming. Swimming burns between 90 to 550 extra calories in half hour session, and it develops muscle strength and fortitude, improve posture and flexibility. The second is sprinting. Increase your heartbeat and blood circulation, and also raise the body temperature. And there is gymnastic too. Gymnastic actually for a person who weighed 155 pounds can burn roughly 298 calories per hour doing gymnastic. For those who like parkour is highest calorie burning sport. So there are a lot of sport out there that are fun that can help you burn a lot of fat and a lot of calories. But there's something that a lot of people do when they want to lose weight and they never go to the gym and just like start going to the gym. They go do a lot of cardio, like a lot of cardio. But what they don't know is doing a lot of cardio and not doing a lot of exercise, not lifting weight, can decrease your muscle mass, which is not good. So what you want to do is combine lifting weight and cardio, and you'll have the perfect result ever. And there are some tips out there that can help you. For example, do not always do the same thing. Make them harder, because when your body gets used to it, it's not as effective as it used to be. So you need to make them harder so your body will not get used to the journey. To conclude, sport and diet goes together, but the most important is to eat the right food, the perfect nutrition that you need. That's what is going to help you get better and faster result when you combine it with the gym, because what you eat will have an effect in your journey and at the gym too. So to have the healthy life that you need and a better diet, what you need to do is eat healthy, go to the gym, and yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Hello everyone, my name is Jay. Do you have a mental problems? If people have a mental problems, people usually go to hospital or meet psychology consultant. However, there is a new way to cure mental problems. According to Fogarty M's research, people suffering from schizophrenia improves physical and mental health. That is, exercise has affected mental health. By interviewing Polaris instructor, we're gonna talk about the benefit of exercise in mental health.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for interviewing. Could you introduce yourself?
My name is Choi Kim from Korea, and then I'm Romana Polaris instructor. I came here for Polaris, and then yeah, I'm teaching Polaris right now.
My first question is about what is the benefit of Polaris in mental health? If you have scientific evidence, please tell me about it.
Okay, nowadays people lose the ability for focusing and concentrating on one thing, right? So with Polaris, you can train this, because Polaris is mind-to-body exercise. As a creator, Joseph Polaris said, there are five principles in Polaris. Those are centering, concentration, control, precision, breath, and flow. I want to bring concentration part to explain this. In the original classical Polaris, concentration is really important. To concentrate, you are needed five mental factors: intelligence, intuition, and imagination, will, and memory. With these five, you can learn how to do Polaris and improve your brain and mental. And did you hear about neurogenesis? Nowadays, scientists find we can make and get new genes in our brain and even improve after getting older. So by doing Polaris, you can use new part of a brain that never used before, because Polaris asks you control and balance your body and focus on one thing. This marvelous exercise, Polaris. It can keep training you mentally. For example, when instructor says left and right and move forward and backward, you should move your body right away. And there are so many coordination exercises at Polaris. You will be able to know how to control your own body by yourself. Like this, your new parts of brain start to awake with Polaris, and it makes you feel totally different kind of vitality. Like, I want to call this Polaris energy. It can also cure mental illness and depression. Without clear and healthy mentality, you cannot perform a beautiful Polaris workout. It means the more you do Pilates, your mental health will be improved more. You can be healthy mentally and physically.
Have you ever taught people who have mental problems such as depression?
Yes, of course.
How did they change?
As you know, life is not extremely spectacular every day. So especially here in New York, many people have a little depression in personal and social ways. Sometimes my client comes into the studio and then I can feel they are depressed and unstable. But during session, they start to get and feel energy because they keep moving and breathing. Pilates is not a simple exercise, so they should focus on this, and it helps them to get out of or remove from causes of depression. And as you know, after doing exercise, you can get an accomplishment. With this accomplishment, your mental happiness level is charging up again, and you feel fresh. And Pilates is a spiritual exercise. All movement is about lift up, not down or low. Really, really lift up. It has made my client to feel energized after session with me. I believe that's the reason why they keep coming for the session.
Which part Pilates make people better in mental health?
Mental health? Mm-hmm. As I referred above, all movement and workout is about lifting up in Pilates. Lift up is not only about body lift up, it is also related to your spirit. And with healthy breathing of Pilates, you can cleanse your lung and purify yourself. It is also a method of many kind of meditation exercise. You can bring the basic and foundational Pilates knowledge from Greek philosophy. That is harmony between your mind and body. You can find balance and harmony by doing Pilates. And lastly, there is a saying, sound body and sound mind. With Pilates, you can get a totally different healthy body, and it can make you a person who gets a sound mind.
The last question is that how long does it take to cure mental problem, averagely?
Actually, even if you go to a prominent psychology doctor, it is not easy to say how long it will take to cure mental problems. The only thing I can say is that Pilates is not a just exercise. It is a lifestyle. We can choose Pilates as your new life partner. You will get a sound body and sound mind, definitely. This is my answer.
After I interviewed her, I realized Pilates is a helpful exercise in mental health. Through the Pilates, people can concentrate their mind and people learn endurance and core strength. In addition, when I listen to the benefit of Pilates, people may be not only a scientific change, but also people can get a positive energy because she looked cheerful. Of course, Pilates is not medicine, but exercise, especially Pilates, has positive effect on mental health. Therefore, exercise results in living healthy life. Thank you for listening, and thank Choi Kim again for interviewing.
Let's get started. element that inspires us practice exercise. Health is always a good reason to practice some sport. It's the most important reason, because practice some sport and feeling a reconfort, a spiritual reconfort. In other hands, it's for people, it's a kind of reflex of life. People that practice sport always had a different attitude in the life. For others, is practice sport is a philosophy of life, for it's very important. Exists two other factors, like aesthetical, but overall, the most important is health. People practice sport for health. In the beginning, children are interested in sport because for them, the sport is part of the game. This is their language, no? For children, athletics is like a hero, no? Some Adam says about this.
I love sports. I've loved them from the time I was a young man. I loved them even though I didn't grow up in a sports family. I think I fell in love with sports because I saw it as honest. If you can produce, you get to play. And it was that simple. I come to you today to talk to you about maybe an importance in sports that we haven't recognized before. I've been able to do a ton of things because of sports. I was able to represent my university. I was able to become an All-American. I won watches. I was in magazines. And all of that pales when we talk about the importance of what could be in sports right now. Historically, there's been four ways by which we raise men in this country. In the home, in the church, in the military, and in sports. Cultural changes have changed the mix on the importance of how those things work. In the home, right now, one-third of American children, about 15 million children, grow up in a home with no father. That's a lot of young boys growing up without a daily example of manhood in their home. In church, census tells us that less than 20% of American citizens go to church, attend a church service on a regular basis. And if social trends in America follow Europe like they usually do, by 2025, the number could be 12 or 13% of American citizens attend a church service on a regular basis. Because of technology, cyber advancement, the current administration's desire to bring the number of active military down to its lowest point since World War II, 80% of applicants to the military get turned away. It's not raising a lot of men in the military either. What we're left with is sports. Could be the last bastion by which we give the characteristics and the virtues with which we raise men in sports.
We say that. Adam said that sport inspired children, principally. For children, it's very important sport. I have that testimony of the teenager that disordered. How is it important for him, the sport in his life?
15-year-old Tristan Wilmot is not your typical basketball player.
I've been practicing all my life for this.
On the first day of tryouts, when I saw Tristan come in, I thought he was somebody's little brother.
Tristan is now playing on his high school basketball team for a second year.
Making a basket was my goal in each game.
Tristan has an extremely rare chromosomal disorder called Mullibury-Nannyism. It's a form of dwarfism that impedes growth and also affects the muscles, liver, brain, and eyes. It can lead to premature death in patients who experience severe complications, such as a heart infection.
They knew right off that he was small, and they actually found it by accident.
By that point, Tristan was in a fight for his life. His mom had prepared him for the worst.
They had sat me down and said that I needed to look at quality of life versus quantity.
But then he turned a corner after what should have been the last trip of his life.
They really, I don't think, gave him more than a few months, so we did the Make-A-Wish trip to Florida. And he really hasn't been sick since.
Now, 10 years later, Tristan credits his grit for helping him soar.
I didn't get tired because I knew I wouldn't give up.
Children so were inspired for people that practice sport. But in the future, children living in a city in many places, in schools, cities, where they need to motivate to become an adult sport people. This is the ideas on many governments or Department of Health around the world. Because adult people stop to practice sport. So it's very important for many reasons. For someone, for shape, for physics, for others, for health. Anyway, practice of sport had many motivation, but the most important, the principal, is health. Around the world exist that many cities that inspired practice sport. Principally, places close to the beach. Now, this is the case of Washington D.C.
But not only is it the nation's capital, but Washington D.C. also seems to be the capital for healthy Americans. D.C. was ranked the fittest city in America for the third year in a row by the American Fitness Index. It's the 9th annual list by the American College of Sports Medicine and the Anthem Foundation. D.C. scored especially high marks on park-related expenditures, spending more than 3 times the goal amount for cities. More than 96% of people in the community live within a 10-minute walk of a park. The area also received high marks for low smoking rates, diabetes deaths, and cardiovascular disease deaths, and positive mental health. Not far behind was Minneapolis, Minnesota in second place, and Denver, Colorado, which ranked first in personal health, coming in third. Regardless of where your city ranks, the index uncovered a positive nationwide trend, an uptick in overall Americans exercising. Nearly 77% of Americans reported exercising in the past 30 days. That's up about 12% from the year before. Walter R. Thompson, chair of the AFI Advisory Board, said that's a huge increase. Usually we will see a 1 or 2% increase. Way to go, America. For Newsy, I'm Matt Moreno.
In USA, in America, Washington D.C. is the most important capital of the sport. It's followed for Los Angeles, where many, many people practice some sport. But it sees places like New York that inspire to run, to practice some sport, yoga, anyway. Central Park is a perfect place for a run. So every day you see a lot of people practice hand sport close to the area of Central Park. It's amazing. But after this inspire of people practice sport, I have a question. Is people had a good education practice most sport that poor people? Because in poor areas, it's possible to say that people don't have a regular practice of some sport. Some countries, poor country, they are not popular for practice sport. So I had the idea that a more education is more practice of sport. So this is important. This is the importance to the educate to people in sport. Because the sport, it's life. It's sport, it's health.
Hi everyone, it's me again. So before we finish our podcast today, so we have to tell you guys something important. If you have a healthy body image, you accept yourself as you are. You realize that you aren't perfect, but you also realize that no one else is either. You hold yourself to reasonable standards and have reasonable expectations for yourself. If you have a healthy body image, you like the way your body looks and feels just the way it is. You don't feel like you need to tone up, lose weight, or have plastic surgery in order to feel better about your body. You may still make a decision to improve your body, but losing weight or exercising more, for instance. But that's because you are concerned about your health or other factors, not because you think it will make you more valuable as a person. Research indicates that modest accounts of exercise can improve your mental health. No matter your age or fitness level, you can learn to use exercise as a powerful tool to feel better. People who exercise regularly tend to do so because it gives them a sense of well-being. They feel more energy throughout the day, sleep better at night, have sharper memories, and feel more relaxed and positive about themselves and their lives. And it's also powerful medicine for many common medical health challenges. You are more likely to be emotional and mentally stable and healthy if you have a healthy mood. You will enjoy more confidence, self-awareness. You will be far less likely to suffer from eating disorders, and you will decrease your risk of depression and anxiety. You will even enjoy closer relationships, since sometimes you're afraid to reveal your body and the mood. Okay, everyone, that's our podcast today, and thanks for listening.